Hello, and welcome to the Mind Fitness Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Ursh, and my role as your mentor is to help fuel, feed, and grow your brain to enable you to live your best life. That's right, I want to help you create your life by design. As the owner of New Zealand's longest running women's gym and health and wellness coach for over 22 years, I've had the privilege of helping thousands of women transform their bodies. And what I've learnt is the key to all success starts with transforming your thinking. My mission for this podcast is to enlighten and brighten your day. Wow, look at us. We are now at week 3. Can you believe it's already been 3 weeks? Amazing. And I really wanted to do a huge shout out to all the wonderful people that have private messaged me to thank me for the first 2 episodes. I really want you to understand that sharing your truth with me and trusting me with your truth has really meant the world to me. So thank you. And to everyone out there that's been sharing it on their socials, that have forwarded it to their families, that have got family and friends overseas that have done a shout out for me. Oh, can we just take a moment to have a virtual hug and say thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, and I really wanted to share this crazy cool news. Now, remember, I had a goal. My goal was to have 51 downloads. Well, we've hit over 200 in New Zealand. Go the Kiwis, go the Kiwis. And right now we're having a race between Australia and United States. They are like neck and neck. And the UK and South Africa are also neck and neck. I'm loving watching this competition right now. So if you've got friends and family either in the United States or Australia, let's see if we can have a race this weekend. Let's see who's going to be first and who's going to take up the prize. And let's do the same for the UK and South Africa. It's game on. So today we're on episode 3. Sam, my superhero. And we actually wanted to dedicate this episode to our results team, to our wonderful staff that have stepped up. They never asked questions. They just continued to step up. They helped cover classes. They were there when I wasn't able to be at the staff meetings, and they just continued to make sure that our business kept moving forward. And we really appreciate you. Thank you, ladies. So due to popular demand, today's episode is going to be with my wonderful wife, Sam. So many people have reached out to us and asked what Sam went through. How was Sam? Gosh, Sam's a champion. So we've decided that we will give you Sam's perspective today. And when I say we, I mean I.
That's right, because I'd be quite happy to sit on the sidelines quite quietly over here and let Ursh do all the talking, so thank you very much.
So I guess the best place to start, Sam, is people really want to know what it was like for you. What did you go through? What did you feel? And what was your experience? So let's start at the beginning.
Okay, so are we talking like beginning last year, or are we talking beginning like 5-6 years ago?
I don't think we have that much time on this podcast, Sam.
But I think this really did start way before just last year. And I guess that's where, for me, the journey wasn't really just in this last 12 months. The last 12 months have been way more intense, a lot more serious. But we've kind of been going through this process and ebbs and flows, I guess, of being good and being not so great for the last sort of 5 or 6 years. So can we start there?
Let's do it, Sam. It's okay. Your podcast today.
All right, let's start there. So I guess the first thing is to put a bit of perspective around who Ursh is, especially for those people who don't know her. Ursh is like the most driven person I think I've ever met. She is so motivated, very disciplined. Like when she puts her mind to something, she sticks to it like 100%.
I'm a little OCD.
Just a bit OCD. She has a total do or die mentality. Like when she is in like you wouldn't believe. I've never seen it. It's an amazing quality. And she's always, always showing up for other people. She puts other people first all the time. People ring in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. She will drop anything and everything to help support people. And I think just being such a high motivator and inspiration just draws people to her so much. You know, like we've been together now for over 20 years, and Ursh will always even in the last 12 months, where she hasn't had the amount of energy to give, she still gives. She still gets out of bed at 5:30 in the morning and goes to work and looks after her clients. She still does her coaching. She's still taking care of people everywhere. And as much as I want her to rest and recover and take time off, it's just not who she is. And I think I now realize more than ever, it's in a way, it's part of the therapy of healing, where she needs to give to other people and help other people. And in helping other people, she's helping herself in return. So what do? Well, I go in as the caretaker. I make sure that stuff gets done. I make sure that she gets rest, that she goes to bed early enough. I make sure that we eat the right food. I even have an alarm that goes off on my phone 4 times a day to remind her to have her medication, because she has the same alarms, but she forgets to. She just turns them off.
It's a lot of tablets to take 4 times a day.
She just turns it off and carries on. So I guess my thing is I can be there to look after her every step of the way, to give her the energy and the nutrition and the balance so that she can keep doing what she loves doing and change lives and still get better.
Hmm.
So I guess what I do is I look back over, you know, 12 months ago, and how did I not know that things were this bad? I mean, to be able to actually go to hospital and to have something this serious, how could I miss this? So I have a bit of a guilt around not having picked this up, because I'm here with her all the time. And I guess because this journey wasn't just over the last 12 months, and we were actually looking, like if I look back over that 5 years, that's why it's so important to share that with you, to me, is, you know, over the last 5 years, we had shingles and fatigue way back, like 5-6 years ago. I mean, Ursh was that crazy. This is how driven she is. Like, we did a 3-day tour of Northland cycle trip, which was 100 kilometers a day, and around Northland, which is as hilly as hell. And Ursh had shingles while we were doing it. You know, like, that's how extreme you are sometimes.
But in full credit, I did lose my shit.
She did.
I lost my shit.
It wasn't good. But she, you know, like, she doesn't stop. So, you know, then we had the shingles and we had fatigue that followed that. Not long after that, it was called SIBO, which is the, what do they call it?
Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
Thank you. Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So a lot of bloating in the stomach, gas, and just, again, fatigue that came with that. And, you know, when we were reading up the symptoms of SIBO, it included really bad fatigue and gas and uncomfortable stomach. And there were a
like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah. So she got diagnosed with the SIBO, and we changed our diet and tried to eat things that were going to help with the healing of the stomach lining and gut health. Then we had shingles again. And then after that shingles, fatigue kicked in again. So it wasn't abnormal for Ursh to be exhausted. And quite honestly, for me, this leading into last year, it was that again. We were moving through that same cycle of shingles or chronic fatigue. And to be honest, I thought that we were going to find out at the end of all this that she had chronic fatigue again.
So maybe you've been through a series of illnesses or symptoms in the past that have become quite normal. And if you have, look, I totally get it, because it's normal. It is your normal. However, sometimes if left unchecked, the normal then becomes something else, because you ignore it. And you actually think it's in your head, and then you hide what's actually going on so that you don't sound like you're crazy or making things up in your head. This means you actually struggle more. And I'm not sure if you've heard the saying, if you're in your head, you're dead. Being stuck in your head can escalate. It escalates your fear. You feel that no one cares, and you can also be left feeling alone. So my advice to you is, next time that you notice that things aren't right, speak up and keep speaking up until somebody hears you. So Sam, when did you realize that this was not just the normal?
I think the main thing for me was we'd been to the physio quite a bit, and we'd started off with the wrist pain, and you'd worn braces for over 6 weeks, and we'd been icing, we'd been everything you could possibly do, putting anti-inflammatory gels and you name it, and the wrists were not getting any better. And sometimes your pain would be on one side of your wrist and then it would be on the other side of your wrist. It like wouldn't even be on the same side of your hand. And then it moved into your ankles. And then you got pain in your shoulder. And then, you know, this wasn't right. And I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I said to the physio, this something's wrong here. There's no way that you could have nerve pain in your wrist that then moves to your feet and then into your shoulder. And this had to be something systemic. And she just looked at me like I was absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, you're not actually listening and you don't know what you're doing. And that's kind of where I realized there was something more going on than what I originally had sort of thought. And I mean, we started with one brace on one wrist and then we suddenly ended up with a brace on the other wrist. And, you know, we were just going throughout the whole body. And then you were getting more fatigued, more than normal. Like we would get up, go to work 5:30 in the morning and you'd be sort of okay first thing. But by the time we got home, I'd be making breakfast and you'd just fall asleep on the couch. And just kind of waking you up to eat, even though you were hungry, that was really, really hard. And I hadn't seen that level of fatigue before. And then you ended up getting pain in the face. And so that nerve pain that was in the wrist and everything moved into the side of your jaw. And that's when we decided, no, we have to go to the doctor now. We've got to find out what the hell's going on. This isn't just sprained wrists from doing some burpees. And we need to find out what's actually going on. And I mean, if you've listened to episode 1, you'll realize that wasn't necessarily a fabulous experience, but you were put onto some gabapentin medication to help with the nerve pain. And then also the antidepressant, which we actually still don't know why that had something to do with neurological pain or something as well. I don't know. But that wasn't good because that took you into a very dark space. And so I think it was only 2 days of taking that where I said, you got to get off that because that was not helping your mental well-being at all.
What did you notice at that time?
Well, that's when you went into, like, your fatigue was just almost doubled and everything was really, really hard. And getting out of bed in the morning to go to work was hard, whereas normally you'd get out of bed and you go to work because you had a purpose to go and you wanted to be there, you wanted to connect with people, and you didn't want to be sick and staying in bed, you wanted to be there, whereas now it was a very dark space. So you'd sit in silence on the couch and not talk. You just literally walk in the door and just go straight to bed and not want to talk or anything. You didn't really want to eat, you just disconnected. And then I guess from there the speech became a big issue and you couldn't put sentences together. You'd be in the middle of a sentence talking to me and you just suddenly stop talking. And I'd be like, and what? And you'd go, what? Like you didn't even remember that you were talking about something. It was just, or not being able to find a basic word. Just being able to put a sentence together and just find like the most simple of words. It wasn't even like and the almost became difficult to put together in a sentence. And we'd had similar sort of things before with brain fog in the past and struggling with sentences. I mean, I remember, I think it was about a year or 2 years ago now, actually, where we had a conversation with Mutti over coffee and she actually said, you need to get a brain scan, hun. You need to go and check out what's going on with your brain. It's not right.
And I was struggling then to form sentences as well. And when I get tired, like today, I'm tired. I've done a 5-day, you know, 40 hours on computer all last week, and I know that today, which is Sunday, I'm now struggling with my speech.
Yeah, so it's not uncommon to have that happen before, and we always thought that was actually hormone related. And you're getting brain fog due to unbalanced hormones. So, you know, we've been to hormone specialists for years now and had taken hormone tablets, which have helped with balancing out hormones. But this was different with the medication. It was way more frequent and it was happening in every fifth sentence, whereas before it would happen 2 or 3 times a day. So it was definitely way worse. And I think the most frustrating part of all of this was that we were taking medication, which is, you know, I truly believe that medication is really helpful and can help the body heal when it's needed. And Ursh is very, very much, you're more of a, your body can self-heal. So for Ursh to be on medication, you know that things are bad. Like, She doesn't even take cold and flu tablets when she's sick. She's just go to bed and get better. Whereas I'm like the first sniffle I have, I'm like, where's my Codrols? So, I mean, I was hopeful that being on the medication was actually going to start fixing the problem so she could get back to normal. But actually at the time, it was doing the opposite. Like every day, we'd have moments absolutely where there was like no pain and we'd suddenly feel heaps better. And then it would just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then it would get a bit better and then it would get worse. And we did medication for 6 weeks. Was it 6 weeks that you were on it? 4 to 6 weeks at least.
I think four. And gabapentin, I think 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, the gabapentin's really strong, and I'm sure there's people out there listening who've been on gabapentin or some sort of a nerve pain medication. And I just thought that it was absolutely normal side effect of having gabapentin, that it made you more tired and that potentially it, you know, struggling with sentences because you're kind of drongoed out from the drugs. But it wasn't getting any better over that period where you were on it. It just got worse and it got worse and it got worse. So when we finally went back to the doctor, because this was ridiculous, it wasn't getting any better, and Ursh was at a wit's end and mentally not able to do this anymore. So we go to the doctor, and I had a little list. I've actually found a little book just the other day when I was cleaning up my house, and I put in here symptoms: pain, hands and feet, hot and cold sensitivity, light sensitivity, fatigue, can't sleep, brain fog, can't put sentences together, can't answer questions. Is it her thyroid? Like this, I was just holding this little book here and I just found it, I think it was 4 days ago.
Mm.
And those were all the things that were happening. And we went to the doctor, we wrote all these down because Ursh knew she wouldn't be able to remember them. And I didn't want to miss any of them out because I thought one of these things could be the key to what the problem is. And hopefully then she would be able to say, oh, it's something else. And I don't even think I actually got to say half of the list.
I don't even think she
listened to the list at all.
Mm.
And then she just wanted to double the medication. And I also knew that the medication wasn't working, because if it was working, you should have seen some sort of an improvement. And for her to come out and say, now you just have to double it and you're just going to take a year and a half and you're just going to get over yourself and just do it and just sit it out. To me, that was just wrong. It was wrong. And she wasn't listening and she wasn't seeing what was going on, and there was something more. And that's when I think that was the point when I really realized something really bad is happening, but I still didn't know what it was. I still just thought it was some form of chronic fatigue or hormone problem or thyroid problem, because you don't want to think that anything bad is actually going to happen to you or the person that you love. Like, you just assume that it will go away. This too will pass. Mm. It's just something small and we'll be able to fix it.
Mm.
So we made the decision to stop the drugs.
Hold on.
You made the decision?
No, I told you.
I made the decision.
You made the decision.
I made the decision.
Which was quite ballsy for you.
Dr. Sam, because there was no way that we were going to carry on this way. It wasn't right. There was something really wrong. And I thought the drugs were doing it. The drugs were making her worse. And the drugs were messing her head up and messing with her body. And we had to come off the drugs.
Mm.
So we came off the drugs, and there was a couple of days. And I think you weren't getting better, but I saw an improvement just in like your fatigue, your ability. And whether that was because the pressure of being on the drugs was gone, or whether the drugs were messing your head up a bit.
I do remember, you know, some days that... taking those tablets at night, I just couldn't take it. It was just like I was full, and I just had this repulsion. Like I would just look at you saying, I actually just can't take any more drugs.
Mm.
And then when it got to the point when she said I had to double them, and I was like, the doctor said I have to double them, and then you're saying you're going to stop them. I was at a state then when I actually couldn't make a decision. Like I was just, I should be taking these drugs because the doctor said to take the drugs. And yet Sam standing here saying, you're not taking them. That's fucking ludicrous. That's it. We've had enough.
Yeah.
So that was probably a real struggle for me. But also knowing that I had no idea that I'd changed in that time, because I blacked out. I didn't even black out a lot. I just...
Zoned out.
I don't remember a lot day-to-day functioning at that time.
Yeah, and I think that when we were sitting outside the doctor's office there and I said to you, you're not taking it, and you just said, okay, I think that's when I was like, holy shit, because you never just listen to what I say. So for me to actually just say we're not taking the drugs anymore and for you just to agree, that was like, that's not the Ursh that I know, because you would normally, you would have had a pros and cons list about 500 long and you would have already made the decision and made your decision on your own. But you actually, it was at that point when I realized that you were almost 100% relying on me to make the decision for you and that you actually couldn't do it anymore, which is totally against your personality altogether.
And how did you feel at that time? Because you were having to make a lot of decisions then. You're also having to run, you know, our team meetings. You're having to cover classes for me. You know, lots of things had changed in your world.
Well, I think I just, I think when you go into that, you just got to do what you got to do. You have to get things done and you have to step up and just do what's necessary. But it was totally out of my comfort zone to suddenly be in charge of everything. Like, I felt like I was in charge of absolutely everything. Whereas normally I'm not really in charge of anything. I like to be the squirrel running around getting things done, but you are the decision maker generally. You're the one that will plan and organize, and you will motivate us to get where we need to be and to reach our goals. But suddenly I felt like all of that was suddenly on my shoulders, so now I had to take on a role that I was not comfortable with. But you just have to kick into to doing it because there is no other option. But it's not comfortable.
So here you are basically, you know, stepping into a role that's unfamiliar to you. And, you know, you've got your wife at home that's, you know, sleeping more than normal. You know, her normal personality has gone. When did you realise that it wasn't going to be like a short-term gig? Or short-term gig?
Well, I think there was a build-up in there of, you know, you were sleeping lots. So I knew that it wasn't suddenly going to be over. But, you know, in the past, over a period of weeks or months, you would come right. So I always assumed that it would just eventually things would come right. But there were different things happening this time. Like, you know, it's for you to come home and be freezing, even though the temperature was warm, you'd be freezing.
True.
And you'd go to bed and you'd sleep for 6 hours. Like, you'd get up early in the morning and go to work with me, and we'd get home by like 10 o'clock or so, and you'd pretty much go straight to bed, and I'd try to get you to eat beforehand.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't even really want to eat. You'd wear sunglasses. Sometimes you were sleeping in bed with your sunglasses on because you didn't even have the energy to go in and close curtains and blinds and whatever. You just fall on the bed with your sunnies on because you were really light sensitive at the time. And then you would, like, even touch was a real challenge for you. Like, there was no way you wanted to have a massage or anything with touch. You were so sensitive to touch. So, and you had, like, you'd always had these, what do you call them, spider veins on your legs? Around your ankles, which had shown up like red, especially in the heat. But they were just so bad. It almost looked like someone had taken a grater and just fine grated the bottom of your legs with blood red veins on your ankles, which was totally foreign as well. We didn't know where that came from. And then when we finally went, I think the day that I really went, whoa, this is, I know what this is, but this is something totally different to what I'd assumed, was when we went to that function and we were outside. And you were wearing, I think you were wearing a white, top, that white zip-up top. And it was in the evening and the sun was setting and we were standing outside the building. And I looked over at you and you were just yellow, like so yellow. And I came straight up to you and I said, what the hell, hon? You're really bloody yellow. I think I swore quite a bit. You're bloody yellow.
You didn't come up to me. You just yelled it across the circle.
Why are you so yellow? But that's when I first... And that's when, and Ursh just looked at the floor and just kind of didn't even really acknowledge it and just tried to basically shut it down. But that was the first time that I'd actually noticed your colour, because we'd been getting up early in the morning, going to work, fully dressed. You were freezing cold, so you're wearing big jumpers, covering everything up. going to bed for 6 hours, getting up, going to work in the evening, fully dressed up, coming home, going to bed. And so we knew you earned well, but I had no idea that you were going this yellow. And that was the first time. And probably the sunset really, really picked it up. And just I was just like, what the hell? And that's when we rang Dad. And, you know, again, I sort of went, oh, you know, it's jaundice. Because I said to Dad, you know, what's jaundice? How do we fix it? Because in my head, I was like, yeah, we'll just fix it. It won't be a big deal. We'll maybe do a little liver detox, take a few drugs, and then it'll be all well. All's well. Kids, babies have jaundice all the time. So surely it can't be such a big deal. This is something we can fix. And then when I did speak to him, and he said, you have to get Ursh to the doctor now. Go straight to the emergency A&E somewhere. Go to White Cross somewhere. And you need to get into a doctor straight away. Don't wait. That's when I started to think, holy hell, this is a bit more serious than I'd ever thought.
Because Dad doesn't say that,
does he? Dad doesn't say you have to go right now. And Ursh had been hiding downstairs because she didn't really want to hear what Dad had to say.
No, I didn't want them to see me. Like, oh, I knew if they would see me, then they would, they'd just have a go. Not even have a go. They'd just be like, get your ass right now.
Mm. And I mean, I'm so grateful for Dad because he was so decisive. There was no, he didn't panic. He didn't freak out.
And he's also probably the one person I'd listen to, eh?
You know, he was just
straight up. When Dad says it, you go, you got to listen.
Yeah, he was straight up and he just said, you need to go now. Don't wait. Get in the car. Go there straight away. You need to get blood tests. You need to find out this is serious. Mm. It's in adults, it's very serious. You have to get her there now. So then I had to kind of break it to Ursh that we had to go. But in saying that, I think you knew all along anyway.
I was scared to go and I didn't want to go because I didn't think people would believe me.
Yeah.
Mm.
But the doctor we went to was phenomenal. He just, the minute we walked in the door, he said, well, how long have you had jaundice? So, and that was, it was almost like a relief that, there wasn't going to be any trying to explain or try to, like the last time where we had to try and explain anything. He could see it straight away and just boom, straight into blood tests, get into these blood tests, do it now. Stop taking any drugs that you're on. Just remove yourself off everything and get the blood test done.
Hmm.
So, but then we were in a little bit of limbo of like, what the hell does this mean? Where are we at? And so there was that whole fear now of what actually is happening. But at the same time, a little bit of relief because finally we knew what we were dealing with.
Mm.
Maybe you've had a friend or a family member or somebody you care about who's been through a health crisis or a breakup or a stressful event and you didn't notice. And you might be feeling really guilty that you didn't see it. And if that's you, then I get it. Because I am you. I have felt the guilt. I still now feel guilty that I didn't see this earlier. And would it have been different? Would the outcome have been different? But when I feel guilty, it makes it about me instead of making it about Ursh. And this means that you're just wasting energy on something that happened in the past that you can't change. And it's more important to focus on the now and what you can do, because that's going to leave you feeling way more empowered. And meant that I was able to support Ursh way more when she really needs me back then and now, because guilt is useless in a situation, whereas being the support person and being there for them and doing everything that you can to help them is the one thing that you can do and the one thing that you can give them. It's never too late to support somebody that you really care about. So if there's someone out there that you haven't been reaching out to, that you may have been able to support more, or that you think you want to be able to support, reach out. Maybe now's the time.
Yeah, and I just wanted to expand on that a little bit to say, you know, sometimes as a really strong, independent personality, it's really hard for people like me to ask for help. You know, and for people that want to support other people, it's not about the shame or the blame or the guilt. It's actually about the support and the compassion. And I think, well, I don't think, I know and I believe that if we can all come from a place of compassion and meet everybody, no matter where they are in their journey right now, with love and compassion, you actually can't go wrong. So I guess, you know, for me in the last 12 months, the biggest journey that I've been on is, you know, having compassion for myself and, you know, trying not to, you know, overachieve in every area of my life, and listening to my body and understanding my body and respecting my body. And also, you know, learning about self-love and finding the things that I love about myself, as opposed to, you know, looking in the mirror and picking fault with everything. So, you know, I'd really love to know what your last 12 months has been like. What has your journey been like? What have you done for yourself? How have you supported yourself? How have you supported your friends? How have you supported your family? And, you know, I'd just like to wrap up with, you know, Sam, a final question is, you know, how has your 12 months been? You know, what's different for you? What's changed for you? Like, you know, what's changed for me? What's changed for you? What's changed for us?
I think for me, I had to step up and I had to find my adult, and I've definitely grown. I've had to be more in charge and more in control of Ursh.
Of me. I think you should edit that, Sam.
No, but I have to look after you because you're so busy looking after everybody else. And sometimes I just have to tell you to stop and to have a sleep. And
I think I've done very well in the last 12 months.
Well, should we just run through what you've managed to complete this year alone? Should we just quickly have a quick look at that? So it started off by waiting for the specialist to ring us as to whether or not you were going to go to hospital or not. And by 1 o'clock, you hadn't had the phone call, so you knew you were in the clear, and we jumped in the car and drove down to Napier to be there for I Am Māori.
That was like December.
Yeah, but that was a year ago. So, you know, like there was that whole, I have to be there for the girls, even though I can hardly stand up for more than 30 minutes at a time. And like we drove down there, we got down to Taupo. We had to stop in Taupo and sleep because it was, you know, just crazy to drive all the way through to Napier at that time. But then we had to get up at like 3:30 in the morning to be able to be there at 5 o'clock to watch them start. And that you just made that happen. And you just show up and like no one would know. Mm. And then you've run like a Set Up for Success workshop. You've done seminars that just help people set up for 2021. You've done the intention workshop for the words that they intend to live by, the epic life workshop. Then you did the Don't Worry, Be Happy workshop. And all of those take a lot of energy and you go into them at 100%. No one in the room would know that there was anything wrong with you. I mean, the one that you did in January, your legs were so swollen from the steroids that you couldn't even wear the shoes that you wanted to wear. And you wore long pants and it was like 25, 26 degrees. And we had to put the aircon on like 100-fold. Because it was so hot in the room and you were sweating, but you didn't want people to see how puffy your legs were.
And look how much better my legs are now.
And then we ran a retreat, your first ever retreat in, I think it was March we did the retreat. We had 13 women there for a whole weekend and you just gave them 100% all the time. You know, like you weren't sleeping, which had affected me a lot because I wasn't getting much sleep and I actually needed it, but the steroids were keeping you awake and alive and pumping. So the longer you were on the steroids, the more you were just pumping out. Like you then planned, while you were lying in hospital, you were lying in your hospital bed and you were planning your coaching group, your Ultimate You coaching group. And you also had the Proud of Me coaching group that you wanted to crack into straight away for the new year so that you had these women that you could keep them focused and give them all this knowledge and all this power that you just want everybody to have. And even though you were literally lying in a hospital bed and unsure of where we were going and you were exhausted, you were still showing up and finding ways to help people. You know, this is one of the things that I absolutely adore about you is that you are always caring about other people. But you've got to know that it's really hard for me because I know that you need to slow down and you need to look after yourself and we need to get better. So I feel like I'm constantly running behind you trying to make sure that you do take your tablets, that you do get your rest, that you do eat and that you give yourself a break as well, which keeps me very busy. So now I've got a full-time job at the gym and I have a full-time job looking after you. So yeah, that's how my life has changed.
I think we should be wrapping this up now, Sam.
But without a doubt, I think that I've definitely grown. I've seen you grow exponentially this year. And together we've just grown a lot closer. And we've got a much better life balance. Like we make time to go out with the dog, for walks, to the beach. You know, we definitely have that rest time. And I think, you know, one of the big things from me, and I know from you as well, is that having trust in our team, you know, they've been absolutely unbelievable where when I need to be here to look after you, there's never a question. They never ask why. They just keep stepping up. And that's just been a huge relief knowing that I've got them there all the time. If I need them, they will be there for me. No questions asked. And that's been so incredible in this journey to not have to worry because I know that our members are going to be taken care of because we've got such an amazing team.
Yeah, true. We're so fortunate and so we're just so damn lucky that, you know, we have instructors that are covering classes left, right and centre. We have a team that can just put promotions and marketing, you know, to help support our members. Yeah, that's true. We're so blessed. We really are.
Yeah, and then I guess on a deeper level as well, you know, we have now emotional intimacy coaches. And so we've been able to help other couples in their relationships as well.
We've done a lot of that coaching this year.
Yeah.
You know, I think I think one of the things that someone of my personality, I guess, is a trust thing. And we just learn to operate solo and we get shit done. And so having to rely on someone and trust somebody to get us when we're at our worst is one of the biggest challenges and the most rewarding things that I've learned in the last 12 months. And by knowing that Sam's got my back in every area, which I've always known that, just means that our relationship now operates at a more deeper, more intimate level, which, you know, we've been together for 20 years. So this, is, I guess, is just tenfolded for us in the last 12 months.
Yeah. And I think there's less judgment or shame of judgment or fear of judgment. We're a lot more open about how we're feeling.
And what we need.
What we need and how we can help serve and look after each other without fear of rejection or fear of being made to feel lesser than because you've actually put your hand up and said you need help.
Yeah.
And so I definitely feel for me that this year I can help and you let me help without me feeling bad about helping.
I like how you explained that. I can help without feeling helped. Well, I just wanted to thank you, Sam, for coming on and sharing your experience for the last 12 months. As I said before, you know, we've had a lot of people that have reached out to me privately to ask, you know, how does Sam cope with all this? And, you know, isn't Sam a superhero? And she is my superhero, and she's always been my superhero. And in the last 10 months, she's been my biggest superhero. So thanks for coming on and sharing what's been happening.
No problem. You will see me behind the scenes because I am the editing and marketing and director of all sorts for this podcast. So I am always here.
You are always here. So I just wanted to share with you a quote that I really love. You know, life is happening for us, not to us. And what this really means to me is, you know, it gives us the opportunity to look around us no matter what's going on and see what blessings we have. So quite often, and I've noticed myself in the last 12 months, you know, there's days and moments in my day when, you know, I feel really frustrated at a particular time or a blood test result or, you know, my biopsy result or anything like that. And, you know, when I think about everything is happening for the greater good, and it gives me the opportunity to reflect and come back to a place of love and come back to a place of gratitude. Because fear and gratitude cannot coexist. And therefore, I believe it is essential. One of life's essential tools is to find the blessing in every obstacle, every roadblock, and every situation. Because remember, life isn't happening to you. It's happening for you. So this concludes our episode 3. However, before we finish, remember we've got our home play, our journaling questions. And our journaling questions today are, so number 1, what roadblock, situation, or obstacle have you had recently that you felt stuck or was actually out of your control? Number 2, what were 3 blessings that you could take from that? So number 3, we're going to finish a sentence. It's going to start with thank you, and then you're going to insert the roadblock or the situation or the obstacle. 4. And that's our home play for this week.
So I really hope you've enjoyed this episode with me today.
I have. I'm really looking forward to catching up next week, where we dig a little bit deeper about the benefits of sleep and how that can help you in so many areas. And we may touch on the subject of me connecting with angels at 4 o'clock in the morning. See you then. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend or share it on the socials. And don't forget to tag me on hashtag MFM, Mind Fitness Mentor. And if nobody's told you today, remember, you are loved, you matter, and you are more than enough. Remember, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I can't wait to see you then.